Be seated.
Today's second scripture reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul.
Amen. Thank you, Ken. I still haven't determined yet whether I was going to go through another series, this on the book of 1 Peter, but I'll tell you what, I love this first chapter of 1 Peter, this section last week and this week is a very a favorite section of Scripture for me and my journey in Christ. Last year we talked about God choosing us and how God loves us so much, and we ought to be grateful for that. We get into this section here this morning, and it starts to get into the weeds a little bit. You know, when life is good, it's easier for us to praise God and sing his praises, isn't it? When life is good, we can do that relatively easily. What happens when we are in the trenches of suffering, of insecurity, of doubt, of difficulties? It's then it becomes more difficult to sing the praises of God. Yet, I believe we are called to do that whether the going is good or the going is tough. And the problem is, oftentimes when the going is tough, it's kind of like that old saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. That thing that is right in front of you is all you can see, and you can't see everything that's all around. And we're just distracted by what is right there in front of us. And I think Peter is trying to deal with that this morning as we share in these few verses that were read. As I said, last week we discovered that we are chosen. We're given new birth, a living hope, as we heard, an inheritance. We are shielded and we are ultimately saved. We are loved, we are cared for, we're forgiven, we're led, we're carried. All these words that are used that describe what we have when we have Jesus Christ. It should be easy to sing the praises of God. And then we get to verse 6 here, because he says in verse 6, looking back at the previous five verses, in this we greatly rejoice. Yes. The next word is though. In this we greatly rejoice, though, or but, or what happens next? And here's where we get into this text. And here's what he says. Again, was shared by Ken. I want to share it with you once again. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. I'm guessing if I was to ask almost all of you here in this church if you've ever been in this boat, where you've had trials that you've had to get through, a suffering of some sort that you've had to get through, that you could identify with this verse here. When you're in the midst of all those trials, how do we get through those trials? One might even ask, God, why am I going through this trial? We ask those kind of questions. Why does this have to happen to me? I thought I'd been pretty good. Why does this happen to happen, has to happen to a loved one? You know, the psalmist in the Old Testament, I think it's Psalm 73, where he talks about trying to be faithful to God and doing all that God wants him to do. And he says, and then I felt my feet slip and I felt myself kind of being dragged down because I looked around and said, all these evil people have got it so good. And here I am trying to do the right thing, and time after time after time after time, things happen that don't seem very good. But they seem to get away with it. Gets to a point in that psalm where he says, I didn't understand all this until, ooh, I love that one verse, until it says, I entered the sanctuary. And when I entered the sanctuary, I understood. What? For one, they've got to answer to God. They've got to answer to God. And it may be that sometimes we slide through this life doing pretty well. And maybe we're evil people and we don't even acknowledge God. But they've got to answer to God one day. And he finally realized, you know, I'm still your child. I'm going to be okay. Even if right now, if I could use the words, it stinks. Sometimes doesn't life stink? Sometimes you go through a piece of your life and it just stinks right now. But I hear in 1 Peter chapter 1, there is some good reasons why we go through the struggles we do, whether they're brought on by ourselves, whether they're brought on by Satan himself, or whether even it could be God disciplining us because we got ourselves into that mess. But he's going to take us through that mess. So here we are then in verse 6. In this we greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. I'm wondering if he knew some specific trials that were going on with the church that he was talking to. He's just addressing them. You know, you're going through some tough stuff right now. I mean, the early church did go through some tough stuff if you read about the history of the early church. Now here's verse 7, which is important for us to know. Listen to verse 7. These have come, that is, these trials, these struggles, these things that are going on, these have come. Why? These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. There's the answer right there. Whatever brought on the struggle, and it really doesn't matter, God uses those struggles to help us with something. Let me share something with you that might bring the point a little bit. About a year or two ago, I saw something, I've seen it recently too on Facebook. I saw this thing that was made in China that would make weeding of the driveway and stuff so easy. It would just hook it up to my propane tank, and this thing from China, which was really cheap, would do it. Well, how do you know something's going to work unless you try it, right? Test it, like our faith. So I plugged it in the propane tank and I turned it on and a little poof and then nothing. Fiddled around with a little poof and nothing. I thought, it's going to take me longer to use this stupid thing from China than it is for me to get down on my knees and pull all those things out of the driveway so I don't have grass all over the driveway. I tested the thing and it failed me. Now, they got some now. I've got a little Tim Allen in me. You remember him? Home Improvement. With the big thing on the end and the big flame sticking out there. And boy, those are going to nail those weeds for you. I don't think they're from China. Maybe someday I'll get one of those and those will really work. Burn up all that stuff so you don't even have to bend down. You just burn them off. Now, I'm a bit of a pyromaniac anyway. I want you all to know if I wasn't a Christian, I would be an arsonist. But I'm a believer, and I don't believe that's a good thing to do. So I don't. But I do like fires. Well, maybe that's why I'm also in the fire department too. Anyway, don't go there. don't go there. But here's what he's saying in verse 7 is, when we have the struggles, what do we do with them? Do we sit there and whine? Woe is me. This really stinks. I'm mad at the world. I'm mad at God. I just don't know what to do. Or do we lean on that thing that we had before we got into the struggle, which is faith? Faith in a God who loves me. Faith in a God who we talked about earlier, who gives me living hope. Faith in a God who gave me his son, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for me and gives me an inheritance that'll never perish and spoil, kept in heaven for me. Am I going to trust in this God with the faith that he gave me when I ask Jesus into my heart to say, okay, God, I got to trust you with this struggle? And you know what happens? When we trust God in the struggle and we get to the other side of the struggle, or even we're into the struggle and find ourselves really trusting him, what did that just do? It proved my faith genuine. It was tested. John Wesley, when he had that strangely warmed feeling, I talked about it briefly last week, and he knew that Christ was his Savior. If you continue on in his journal, you know what he said? The very next day, the devil started working on him, testing his faith. And he came through that, realizing this isn't just an emotional thing. This thing is real. This faith I have in Jesus Christ is real, and I'm still standing. Even though I might be hurting, I'm still standing because I have faith in the one who gave his life for me, and I am still standing. And that's what this text is telling you and me, just like gold that even though refined by fire, you know, the struggles of our life, that's the fire, the testing that's going on. And he says that even though it may perish, refined by fire, our faith as we go through that struggle may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I don't like to say this because it means it's going to happen. But you will have struggles. There will be suffering at some point. What are you going to do when that happens? Or maybe you're in it right now. What are you going to do when that happens? Are you going to do like I said at the beginning? You're going to whine and complain and wonder and play the pity party? What are we going to do? Or are we going to say, God, okay, I hear what's going on. I'm going to trust you. I don't even know the outcome. Well, I do know the ultimate outcome. If I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, I do know what the ultimate outcome is. If whatever this struggle is ends up in my death, I know I have eternity with you forever and ever. So I know, no matter what, I'm going to win. I might lose a couple battles in life, but I know I'm going to win in the end. Death has no power over me even. You know? I'm going to win. So if my struggle takes me to my deathbed and my last breath, I'm still going to win. And so my hope for you and me this morning is whatever your struggle, whatever the trials, whatever the things that are going on, lean on that faith that God gave you and trust him with it. So that in the end, not just for your sake, but for all those who watch you live your life, they will see that your faith and my faith is genuine. It's not just a faith that's there when things are going well. It's a faith that's there when things are looking like crap. I use that term because I think we can relate to that word. Farmer, manure. You know? So that it results in praise and honor and glory when Jesus is revealed. My life in my struggle, in my suffering, can result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. Some people think, and I've read some commentaries on this, this when Jesus is revealed sounds like a like when he comes back to get me. But others say, no, you know what that is really meaning? When people see you go through the suffering and you are still faithful to the Lord and you still love him and trust him completely, Jesus is revealed, right? Amen. Jesus is revealed in your life and your situation because people say, that's a real thing going on there because I couldn't do that. But he or she trusted that Jesus was going to get them through that. He's revealed through the suffering and the trials. You know what? I think God is revealed more in our suffering and our trials than he is when things are going well. Because when things are going well, doesn't anyone in life think, this is good? You know? But when the struggle's going on and I still can say, thank you, Jesus. I still love you and I know you still love me. And I know you're going to get me through this, whatever it is. I'm not sure how, I'm not sure what it's going to look like, but I'm going to trust you with it. You see, the world's watching you and me when we go through our struggles. Because they're going to see if you and I are really genuine. You know, this church is made up of a bunch of sinners. What? I'm in that group too. But we're forgiven sinners. We're saved sinners. We have trusted in the one who died and rose again for us, and he took care of that for us. But when we go out there and we live our life amongst the people, they need to know that we are different. We're different in the sense that we want to live for him, which means I don't want to keep sinning. I don't want to keep doing that stuff I used to do. I want to trust him completely with my life. The world is watching as you and I go through our trials and our tribulations. You got to know that. They're looking more now than they ever did before. Verse 8 and 9, and we'll end here this morning. Verse 8 is a beautiful one to share. This text has oftentimes been shared as a part of funerals and memorial services. Because here's a piece in this text that I think is special to you and me. In fact, it reminds me of a text in John chapter 20, 29, where Jesus is saying to Thomas and the others, because you see me, you believe. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. And here's what 1 Peter's telling us as well. Verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled. Oh God, this morning I pray that we have been filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. You know, we sing these songs and I listen to those words. It used to be years ago. I would just sing because I wanted to make sure I had the right notes. Never paid attention to hardly any of the words I ever sang in church. And now I'll tell you what, every time we sing, every word that is shared, it's a message from God to us. And sometimes it just brings me to tears because that's powerful stuff. And why would God love someone like me and you? He does. We are filled with an inexpressible joy. See, only a believer can understand this. You know, that I can have peace in the midst of chaos. That I can have joy even in the midst of suffering. Only a believer can really understand that. Because it's not dependent on my circumstances. It's not dependent on my suffering. It's not dependent on my trials. It's entirely dependent on the one who loves me dearly. And then he ends those two verses there with, we are receiving our salvation. Last week I talked about salvation in its three tenses. Sometimes in scriptures refers to that point in time when I said yes to Jesus, when I realized I needed him. Another tense in that is more that matter of as we are being made more like him, we are being saved. We are becoming more like Christ. And then, of course, the third tense is that tense where, hot diggity dog, I'm no longer here. I'm with him in heaven. This verse gives us a full sense of that. As we live our life in the midst of suffering and struggles and trials, we are filled with this inexpressible joy that can't be explained any other way. And it says, you are receiving, this is an ongoing thing, the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In an ugly world, we can look pretty as we go through our suffering and trials, tribulations. In an ugly world, we can look really good. Not because we do it in our own strength, but because we're trusting in the one who came and lived and died and rose again for our sake. And the world will see that. And there are many that are going to say, I want it too. And we have a chance to share that with them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for Peter and these words of wisdom he gave to the church. Not just a church, but all in that whole area. As we started last week with all around the area, he wanted this letter to be circulated and that people would know. God, we know we struggle and we suffer. And there's some here that have been through some pretty traumatic things and some that are continuing to struggle even now. But God, I pray that they have heard this morning your word, not me, your word that says in the midst of all of that, our faith can be strengthened and our witness can be strengthened and people can look and say, I want what they have. Help us to move in that direction. Teach us your truth. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.